Good morning. And peace be with you. We have some announcements this morning, and Ed has got those covered. I think I probably will just go sit down and let him take care of it rather than rambling on. Ed, are you ready? Here he comes. All right. So I'm grateful. Each week we have a member of our council, as you know, come up and give the news that's fit to tell. And so I'm grateful for their participation and letting us know what we need to know. Thank you, Ed.
You're welcome. Good morning, everybody. For those of you that may not have known, we had a council meeting yesterday, and it was attended by a person that hadn't been to one before. And we were thankful for that. He learned a little bit more about how our church runs from a business standpoint. But more importantly, we did find that Daryl will be able to fill in as a vice president for the time that he's gonna be here, which could be the whole year, rest of the year, or maybe a little longer. So I'm very thankful for that. Also in our meeting, in the council meeting, we talked about missions. And this month, we are having our financial support going to an organization called After the Rain Ministries, a Christian counseling. They're located in Huntington Beach. And their mission is to reach the lost and hurting by providing Christ-centered counseling, workshops, Bible studies to the community, equipping God's children to live in their God-given calling through Christ Jesus. Very important mission. The other thing I wanted to mention was that in bold letters on the bulletin insert, talks about worship assistance. And Ashley wanted to let people know that there is an updated worship assistance schedule that is in the back on the table, and it goes through April. The big thing is, if you are a worship assistant, please pick up the schedule, let Ashley know if there's any changes that need to be made. So in other words, if you're scheduled for a particular time and you can't make it, that's going to be our situation coming up next month on a couple scenarios. Then we need to let her know and try to find someone to exchange or take our place. So the other thing is, we need your help with not just worship assistance, but prayers and greeters and ushers and lecturers and communion assistance and fellowship. We are getting some help in that area right now, which is good. Counters, altar guild. All this is required to keep us moving smoothly. Also, you have an opportunity to provide a praise report. Many of you know that we have a very good prayer group here, and we would like to hear praise reports and get more information about how things are moving along with the person we prayed for. Another important thing to make a note of is we have a piano concert coming up, and our very own Nick Galaniatis, probably pronounced it wrong, is going to be here on Saturday, June 1st at 5 p.m. And he will be playing Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. It's for the 100-year anniversary. You're all welcome to attend at 5 o'clock. Bring friends and be ready to hear some beautiful music played on that beautiful piano right there. One last thing, we do have this month a couple of celebrations. Some of them already have happened. Louie had her 30th birthday April 3rd. Jan Tubiola had her 65th on April 23rd coming up. Tim O'Donnell, well, he's pretty old, so I won't even mention his age, April 26th. Also, we have wedding celebrations, anniversaries, and those go out to Bob and Joan Frey. Bob is not with us today. He's recuperating from surgery. And also for Ken and Carol. They just had an anniversary on April 8th. And also Ken and Gail Yabuki will be having one this month, April. Excuse me, Ken was April 8th and Ken and Gail is April 28th. So that is all the announcements. Read it, pick up the information, the programs, and prayerfully consider helping where you can. Thank you.
Our opening hymn is Lift High the Cross on page 377 in the green hymnal. Please stand if you're able. We come together this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you. And for his sake, he forgives you all of your sins. And as your called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. This first reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 11 through 21. You can find it on the Pew Bible at page 1619. Peter and John were at the temple, and they found a beggar, and through the power of God were able to help him walk. Never walked before. So this is them talking to the people after that. So while the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witness of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and return to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the times of the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets." We'll read Psalm 4 responsively, printed in your bulletin on page 6. Psalm 4. "Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer.
How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods?
Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him.
Tremble and do not sin. When you are on your bed, search your hearts and be silent.
Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord.
Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us.
Fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound.
In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety."
And the next reading is taken from the first book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, found on page 1900 in the Pew Bible. John 3, 1 through 7. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now that we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who gave this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But as you know that he appeared that he may take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous." Here ends the reading. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke from the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Our Gospel this morning is from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 49, and can be found on page 1644 in the Pew Bible. Luke records, "While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' They were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, 'Do you have anything here to eat?' And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it, and he ate it in their presence. He said to them, 'This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms.' And then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, 'This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So, last week, we heard part of the story of the locked room on that first Easter. John's gospel account tells us about Jesus setting aside some of his disciples to be apostles, which we know that is sent ones. Apostles is sent ones. And he also told how Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit into the apostles and gave them authority to administer his forgiveness. And throughout this gospel account, we heard about the peace and the gentleness of Jesus as he rekindles and strengthens the faith of his disciples. The gospel that we just heard from Luke tells us some other things that happened when Jesus appeared to those disciples in that locked room. The account in Luke gives us additional details concerning the nature of Jesus' risen body, that it is really a flesh and blood body, and not some ghostly apparition or some hallucination. The account in Luke also gives us important guidelines. What are those guidelines? Well, the guidelines are there to help us to understand the Bible, and guidelines to help us proclaim the gospel. Today's gospel begins soon after the Emmaus disciples arrive at the gathering. You remember that these two disciples had already encountered Jesus as they were walking the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And it was after their encounter with Jesus that they hurried back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples what they had seen, what they had heard. And no sooner, it would seem, did they finish than Jesus himself appeared among the disciples in that locked room again. And that is where today's gospel leads us into the event. So the disciples, they were just getting used to the idea that Jesus had risen from the dead. But they had to be asking, well, what kind of resurrection was it? Was Jesus simply a spirit that had come back from the grave to haunt them in some way? Was this resurrection just a vision? Maybe this resurrection was just an extreme case of wishful thinking. When Jesus appeared, they didn't know what to make of what they saw. And again, our Lord's first order of business was to show the disciples what sort of resurrection that this was. He said to them, "What? Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts?" He goes, "See my hands, see my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. And for the spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have," he said to them. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and he showed them his feet. And Jesus also ate some fish. This is a further sign that the resurrection is a true bodily resurrection. Now, since Luke recorded these words and these events in detail, we also know that the resurrection of Jesus is a flesh and blood resurrection. He is not just a spirit. He is not some sort of vision. He is certainly not some sort of hallucination. He is a real flesh and blood human being raised from the dead. In every sense, he quite literally is God with skin on. Now, once Jesus established the true nature of his resurrection, he began to teach the disciples things that they could not understand until they had witnessed him as both crucified and risen from the dead. The empty tomb was not the only thing that was opened on that first Easter. Luke's account repeatedly tells us that Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to include these words in the description of Jesus' teaching on the road to Emmaus. On Luke 24:27, it says, "Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Then in today's gospel, Jesus said, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And one of the struggles that we have in discussing God's word with our culture is that our culture wants us to believe that there are dozens, if not hundreds, of meanings to the words of Scripture. We often hear people say something like, "Well, that passage is open to interpretation." Now, the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to record the very interpreting tool that Jesus gave to his disciples. It is with this tool that we can filter out these false teachings that many people try to find in the Bible. Jesus showed his disciples how to find him in every passage of Scripture. Jesus showed his disciples how to interpret everything from Genesis chapter 1 through the end of Malachi and to find Christ on every page. The words of Jesus himself tell us that we have the true meaning of a passage of Scripture only when we find him in the passage. You've heard this. Every jot and tittle points to Jesus. Well, it does. And Jesus went on to use this very tool to teach the disciples about his mission in this world and his vision for the church. Jesus said this, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." It is here that Jesus told his disciples that the Holy Scriptures, what the Holy Scriptures said, and that is that his mission to the world was to suffer and to rise on the third day. He also taught that the Holy Scriptures' vision for the church, the vision for the church was the proclamation of repentance and forgiveness of sins in the name of the Christ. And Jesus fulfilled the mission of the Christ. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And yet, even though he was perfectly innocent, he suffered a cruel death on the cross. And then, as we read in today's gospel, he rose from the dead. And he has done all things well. He has earned the forgiveness of sins for each and every human being, no matter when or where they have lived. Now, Jesus has laid out his vision for the church to proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. And this is to be the work of the church in all times and in all places. Well, the question we asked, what then is the proclamation of repentance and the forgiveness of sins? What is it? Well, the proclamation of repentance has two parts. The first part uses the law to sharpen the conscience so that the hearer begins to understand the wrath of God that they deserve for their sin. And the second part uses the gospel to show that God has provided a way to satisfy his wrath through his Son, Jesus Christ. In short, you need Jesus. And in conclusion, here is Jesus. In your Bible, there's Jesus. In your baptism, there is Jesus. Law, gospel. The proclamation of repentance leads naturally to the proclamation of forgiveness of sins. This is nothing other than the proclamation of the person and work of Jesus Christ. That is, again, through the perfect life, through the suffering, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God's wrath is satisfied and our sins are gone. Jesus has given us the very righteousness of God as a gift to take the place of our sins. And when God the Father looks on us, he does not see our sin. Instead, he sees the very holiness of his Son, Jesus the Christ. So we have an example of that very thing in the Acts of the Apostles. In Acts 3:13 through 20, we hear the Holy Spirit use Peter to absolutely bludgeon the consciences of his hearers. He was brutal. He said, "The God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate. And when he had decided to release him," he's going, "You guys killed him." He further goes on, "But you denied the Holy and Righteous One, and you asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead." Ask this question: whose conscience would not be suffering after hearing those words? And so after Peter proclaimed repentance, after the law absolutely tears them down, he made the transition to forgiveness with these words: "Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus." And here we see an example of an apostle of Jesus Christ, Peter no less, following the instructions that he received from Christ himself. This is the vision of the Holy Scripture that Jesus made into the vision of the church for all ages. He has instructed, claim repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. Now, since this is the vision of Jesus, we should expect that everything we do when we receive his divine service to us should somehow be related to the proclamation of repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. Our words, whether sung or spoken, should make this proclamation. They should prepare us for the proclamation, or give thanks for the proclamation of repentance and forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus. Anyone notice I said proclamation a lot? Yeah? Okay, well, stay tuned. Because after a while, you're going to get tired of hearing proclamation. Oh, gosh, how many times are you going to say proclamation? Well, I'm glad you asked. Listen to this. The devil and the world and even our own sinful nature all hate this proclamation. It is their goal to wean us away from this proclamation. They will regularly try to substitute religious-sounding words and phrases for this proclamation. And as Paul warned Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, he said, "The time is coming when people will not endure sound teachings, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." Truly, truly I say to you who can hear me now, that the church must ignore the temptations of the world and continue to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus. After all, this is the vision of our risen Lord. It is the fulfillment of his vision that Jesus has promised the coming of the Holy Spirit, who creates the faith that receives God's gift. And it is through the proclamation of repentance and forgiveness of sins that the Holy Spirit keeps us in faith, so that the day will come when he will raise us from the dead and give us eternal life. You need Jesus. Here is Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you. please stand if you're able? Let us now confess our faith together to the words of the Apostles' Creed, found on page 3 of your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to save our souls. Thank you, Jesus, for sending the Holy Spirit to reside within us and constantly remind us of your love for us and to strengthen our faith in your saving grace, especially when trouble comes our way, as it often does. And Holy Spirit, please remind us constantly that whenever our plans seem to fall apart, and our Holy Father seems absent or distant, that his plans are far greater than ours and perfect for us. Help us hold firmly onto our faith when Satan tempts us to hide from our Father in heaven. Lord God, you already know our earthly problems and concerns, whether unbridled violence between our citizens and children, corrupt, misguided, or ineffective government leaders, health problems, and the tragedy involving children and families on our national border. We are drowning in lies and deceit in our country in every direction we look, and we seem lost in a sea of evil. Please, Lord, help us to see the path to safety and guide us there. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us eyes to see and hearts to recognize the good in people and the kindness shown to strangers, in spite of the news and social media sources that thrives and profits on hate and division. Help us also be kind to one another and throw off the anger and hate cloaking us. Please give us all wisdom in these United States that we can address our society's problems in the best way that pleases you. Lord and Savior, please heal our friends and family members who suffer, and there are many, and remind us that we do not suffer alone. Thank you for sending your angels to sit by our side and for sending good friends who serve as your emissaries when delivering consolation and hope. We have witnessed your hand in their lives and actions, and thank you for opening our eyes to miracles. These Christian believers are powerful messengers who often make the difference between hope and despair. Please guard the hearts and minds of those who serve you, Holy Father. We give you thanks, Lord, for blessing us with a nation filled with the best opportunities in the world, the best medical and technological advancements known to mankind, and for charitable hearts that seek to share the many blessings you have bestowed upon us with others. Let us not take these blessings for granted, nor assume that we deserve them. Please stand with us and help us defeat our enemies wherever they are and wherever they seek to separate us from your providence over our lives, whether outside our nation's boundaries or within. We also pray that for the sake of your faithful, that you would not punish our nation as you did the Israelites many times for turning away from you and worshiping things other than you. We know the peril we bring upon ourselves, and we plead for your mercy. Father, if you allow our nation to be divided and fall, as we may deserve, Who will protect the weak and oppressed in the world? Please restore us, protect us, and make us strong before our enemies. We now share with you our personal prayers, kept deep in our hearts or spoken aloud. Thank you especially and always for the gift of your Son, our eternal Savior, Jesus Christ. Into your hands, Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And now may the peace of the Lord be with you all. Let us share the peace. You Christian soldiers, will you please pray with me? Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things, Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should, at all times and in all places, offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. But chiefly, we are bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of our Lord, for he is the true Passover Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his death has destroyed death, and by his rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels and cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which our Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks. And then he broke it, giving it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks. And then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink. This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." For we know that as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, that we proclaim Christ's death, his resurrection, and his glorious coming again. Let us now pray together the perfect prayer that Jesus gave to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus paid it all to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. You need Jesus. He's here. He's here in the Word, in the sacrament, and in you, through the Holy Spirit and the gift of faith. If that's your confession, then come. The table is prepared and the usher will bring you forward.
You are clothed in his righteousness. May that comfort you. May that keep you in his peace and his joy. Amen.
Thank you.
And now the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his perfect peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn is the Battle Hymn of the Republic on page 332.